Amen. Matters, you come preach to us.
Amen.
You just thought you was going to have the night off.
Well, turn the bulldog loose.
We've got guests. Well, these days when an older man stands under the pulpit, you can't tell if it's sanctification or medication. Us older folks, if we want liberty, we just up the dosage. Just take an extra pill, man. We'd be all right. This has been a good week, but a very special week for me. Back in November, the first Saturday or the first weekend of November every year, I get together with all the boys that I grew up with in an orphan's home up outside of Fort Worth. And I sat around a big old round table. And there sat Craig, James, and Gerald, Roger, my brother Dennis, Bill, Charlie. And all of us men were sitting around that table. And in my mind, I could still see us as teenage boys out in a hayfield, out our shirts on, throwing those bales of hay on top of that wagon, that truck. And just sit there and look at all of us now. We're all 70 plus years old. And it does something in your heart. And I thought that was a grand moment. And it was. Yeah. But this week, 40 years ago, I came into this church.
Yeah.
And I walked in the old metal building over where we was on Beavis. And man, there was Brother Gary and Brother Bobby and Brother Randy and Brother Danny and Little John Thompson and Brother Carl Wright. And I walked in there to a brand new bunch of men that I had never met in my life. And I mean, 40 years had passed in a hurry. And I've come right down the road and I mean, we've come through the wilderness and the desert for 40 years. And these have been my traveling companions, my band of brothers. They just, my soul is loving. And all week long, I have enjoyed that thought, those memories that we had as young men. And all of us, man, every time a mission conference would come, man, we was all down on the altar begging to go somewhere. And through those years, we watched everybody go in different directions, but we'd always meet back up at camp meetings, and it has been the thrill of my soul to be a member of this church for 40 years. I've outlasted my family, my dogs, my pets. I mean, I've left everything behind, but God's been good to me. Let us keep right on going. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 2. Leviticus, chapter 2. Brother McIntosh makes this statement about the book of Leviticus. He said, there's not one event. He said there's not one happening in the book of Leviticus that doesn't have a meaning. He said everything that happens has a meaning, a shadow in it. And the thrill of a lifetime is to dig into every little thing that happens and see what the Lord's trying to show us. In chapter 2, And when any, and he's looking out there over at a million people, and he says, if any of you will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. And he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, and of the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And all the way through the book, God is a master in bringing something sweet out of the fire. Yeah. He's about the only one I know that can do it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But he can.
Hey.
And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering baking in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, baking in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. My text. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a frying pan.
Amen.
Bacon in a frying pan.
Amen.
Don't that have a sizzle to it?
Yeah.
That's even got a smell to it.
Yeah.
So it ain't nothing like bacon in a frying pan. What I want to preach on tonight is a poor man's frying pan.
Yep.
I want to preach on a poor man's frying pan. What you have in this chapter, these verses we read within you, you got a poor man that's been overwhelmed by the goodness of God. I mean, he's just got overwhelmed with it. Now, he's only been saved for a year. The book of Leviticus was written 1 year out of Egypt. So this man that's come to the altar, he's only been saved for 1 year. And he hasn't forgotten what Egypt did to him. He hasn't forgotten the burdens. He hasn't forgotten being beat down. Yeah, he hasn't forgotten those heavy, everyday burdens, the hard times and the hard days and the afflictions that the Bible speaks of. He hadn't forgot those. He hasn't forgot the bitterness. He hasn't forgot what Egypt took away from him. He hasn't forgot what Egypt made him do, things that he didn't want to do. He hasn't forgotten the day-to-day grind of just never getting out, wanting to get out, but no way to get out. He hasn't forgotten the beatings of the taskmasters. He's still got the scars and the stripes and the marks are still evident on his body. And the vices of Egypt that still torment him, those sins day by day. But he remembers the day that Moses, their Savior, came into the camp and delivered a message called, "Let my people go. Take the chains off my people." And he spoke about a land of milk and honey. He said he spoke about a promised land. And he said that the Lord had heard our prayers, and that he had come to save them from the oppression, and all they had to do was just slay a lamb and apply the blood, and they could get out of Egypt the next day. And he remembers the day that they marched out of Egypt. Oh, you don't ever forget the day you marched out of Egypt. You don't ever forget that day. He had never forgotten. He had never forgotten that sea part. He's never forgotten the sound of a million people singing at the same time. A multitude just singing the song of Moses. He remembers the tree that made bitter water sweet. And if that tree has ever made any bitter water in your life sweet, you don't ever forget it. He hasn't forgotten the manna that fell from heaven that fed him. Hadn't forgot the cold water that come out of the hard rock on a hot day.
Amen.
He has enjoyed the joys of salvation. And so here he comes. He's bringing him voluntarily. He's coming to the altar to bring a meat offering. And this meat offering, it's an offering of thankfulness. That's what it is. It's a meat offering that you bring where you just want to say, he just wanted to sing, "I just want to thank you, Lord." And he's bringing this meat offering, and he said, I'm really not coming to ask you for anything. I'm not coming to bring my troubles. I'm not coming to complain. But I'm just coming to worship you. I'm just coming to thank you. You've done so much for me. You've saved me out of Egypt. You've lifted my heavy burdens. You've took my taskmasters away. You've took my sins away. You have fed me. You have clothed me. You are taking me to a promised land. You have put a song into my heart. So he takes his meat offering and he makes it at home. He prepares it at the house. And he gets him some flour. And he grinds that flour and he sifts that flour and he grinds it and he sifts it until it's so fine. He's got it so fine. And then he pours oil upon it. Then he puts frankincense on top of that. Now he needs something to take it to the altar. Now, according to Numbers chapter 7 and verse 13, they were required to bring that meat offering to the altar in a silver charger. But he's a poor man. He don't have no silver charger. So he goes all over his house. Finally, he goes into the kitchen. And he finds him something to bring his meat offering. And he puts it in a frying pan. And he comes with that frying pan. And he's got that flour, that oil, that frankincense. And he approaches the altar with his meat offering. And that verse we read, this priest reached into there and they take it out. They take that out and they put it on that altar. And a fire burns that our sacrifice on the altar. And he's standing so close, he can feel the heat. He can see the smoke rise. And his eyes filled with tears and his heart is bursting. And he feels like shouting when that sweet savor ascends unto the Lord. And there's a strong presence of God that comes down upon that altar. Psalms 43 says, go to the altar with exceeding joy.
Yeah.
When David wrote the Psalms, he just had the first five books of the Bible. David saw what they went through out there in that wilderness. There's nothing dry, there's nothing dull, there's nothing dead about going to an altar.
Right.
Never has been, still to this day. Psalm 132 said, the priests are clothed in righteousness, but the saints shout for joy. That's the Old Testament. A sweet savor of sins. And he's standing there and he's got strength in his soul now. And he's got a shout down inside him. So he leaves the altar and he's heading home. He's met with God. He's going home and he's got God in his heart. He's got that frying pan in his hand. He's going home with God in his heart and a frying pan in his hand. And when he goes home, he sets that frying pan up in his tent, and every time he looks at it, the joy comes all over him again.
Yeah, now.
And every time he looks at it, he can feel the heat rise in his soul. And every time he looks at it, the fire of that sweet savor just rises up in his soul once again. You see, this frying pan to this poor man, it's his salvation. You see, it feeds him every day. Every day, it feeds him. Every day he needs something that's in this thing. He can't live without it. He's going through the wilderness and he's got to have this frying pan. It's his salvation. Did you know our salvation feeds us every day? Feeds us every day. You can feel it every day. You need it every day. Now the first thing I want you to notice is I'm preaching about an old-fashioned, old-time cast iron skillet. I'm not preaching about modern aluminum or Teflon. I'm preaching about an old-fashioned cast iron skillet. I don't want no modern religion. You see, a cast iron skillet don't ever wear out.
That's right.
Then modern stuff is going to wear out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Modern aluminum and modern Teflon is going to wear out.
Yeah.
It's just like modern religion. But that old-fashioned frying pan, it'll never wear out. It'll last a lifetime. And only few want it. I dare say there's just a few of them in our homes tonight. You see, there's still a remnant in our fair land that enjoys the old-time, old-fashioned cookware. There's still a remnant that still enjoys the old-fashioned, old-time religion. You see, we're the leftovers. I noticed after Thanksgiving, we had a lot of leftovers, and we ate leftovers. Leftovers were good. They weren't the meal. They were good.
Yeah.
Us being the leftovers, you know what it means? It once was a meal. America had it at one time.
Yeah.
We the leftovers. You see, we still believe in an old-time religion.
Amen.
We still believe in an old-fashioned preaching.
Amen.
We still believe in an old-fashioned shouting. We still believe in an old-fashioned altar. We still believe in an old-fashioned fire that's coming up. We still believe in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost coming into the meeting. We still believe in an old-fashioned high priest called Jesus Christ. We still believe in a sweet savor in the presence of God in our service. We don't even think we've been to church until we sense God in our presence. It's a poor man's frying pan. His life depended upon it. That boy traveling across this wilderness, his life depended upon it. But I'm going to tell you this, you don't get nothing out of it until you put something in it. You can sit and look at it. You can put it up as decorations. You can talk about it. But you're not going to get nothing out of it until you put something in it. And you know what I've learned? Whatever you put in it, it's going to be better when it comes out. So I wouldn't eat that 8 ounce pork chop raw for nothing, but you put it in there and leave it a while and it'll come out tasting a whole lot better. When he come to the altar, the only thing he put in there was fine flour, but he got the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost coming out of it. You got to put something in it to get something out of it. 40 years. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. And this frying pan, it never failed him one day. I'm telling you, it never failed him one time. He brought it out of the Red Sea and he took it all the way to the River Jordan. Old time religion will last from the time you come out of Egypt to the time you get to Jordan. I can vouch for this. 42 years, it's lasted. It's lasted for 42 years. Old time religion will last all the way through. It'll get you out and it'll carry you across. Now for me, I've been using this for 12 years. I've had this skillet for 12 years. Just needed this one. I hadn't needed another one. I hadn't had to go to Walmart and get another one. I've had this one right here. 12 years. Can I tell you it's never failed me one time? I put something in it every day. I put fire under it every day. It has fed me every day. I've sliced up sausage in it until it just the aroma fills up the whole house. I put bacon in it and listen to it sizzle in the morning. I put pork chops in it. I have made cornbread in it. I have put fried my potatoes in it. It has fed me every day. Never failed me one time.
Yeah.
I put a meat offering in it every day.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this? It doesn't work without fire. Anything you put in it, anything that's flavorful, anything that's nourishing, it's got to have fire. Or it just doesn't taste good. Fire makes food taste better. You see, I'm not among this microwave generation. You know what a microwave is? Just like modern religion, it's hot air without fire. That's what it is. It's just heat with no fire. My little deep fryer burned up on me last week, so I had to go hunt for me a deep fryer. I went to Walmart. They don't even have them anymore. All they've got now, they've gone to a new age thing called a hot air cooker. Ain't that modern religion? No oil, hot air.
Amen.
The flavor's in the fire. Old time cooking. You can't cook like the old fashioned way without fire. It's like old time religion. You got to have some fire. You got to have fire. Old time preaching, you got to have some fire. Fire makes food taste better. Fire makes the word sound better. Paul said of the old time faith, he said it'll endure all things. He said it would never fail. He said that old time faith, he said it'll carry you through. I'm talking about salvation in a skillet and faith in a frying pan. I want to preach on just two things. Number one is the fire. Can I tell you this cast iron's killing? It can take fire.
Yes. Amen.
It can take fire every day. Turn it up 7 times hotter than you ought to, and it'll still hold its shape.
Yeah.
Still work the next day. That old cast iron frying pan, it was that this one this old boy was carrying here, it was made in the fire.
Yeah.
It was made in the iron furnace of Egypt.
Yeah.
He got that frying pan in Egypt. There wasn't no store to buy a frying pan in the wilderness. There wasn't no Walmart. There wasn't no going buying no frying pan out there. There ain't no stores out there. He brought that frying pan out of Egypt. It was made to take the heat. No beauty in it that you desired. It doesn't look as fancy as them modern ones. Boy, it'll outlast. It was made to use every day. Every day the same was made to you. It was made to get them through the wilderness. And you only needed one. You didn't need another. He started with it. He finished with it. He came out with it. He went in with it.
Amen.
And our salvation was made in the fire. It was made to be able to use every day. It was made to face all that the wilderness would come against it. Modern cookware would never have lasted 40 years in the wilderness. Never would have lasted. They were going to need something that was endurable. They were going to need something that was everlasting. You know what the Lord said over in the book of Leviticus? He said, on them offerings, he said, don't put no honey on it. He said, salt it.
Yeah.
He said, when you're coming through that wilderness, you're going to need something salty. Not so sweet. You see, DuPont is the maker of most of our modern cookware. DuPont, the maker, says that they're only made to last 3 to 5 years. Modern cookware. They say that DuPont says that you ought to trade in your skillet every 2 years. Well, if that be true, this poor man was going to need 20 skillets.
Yeah.
He was going to have to keep going back and get one. But he's got one that's going to last the whole trip.
Amen.
You see, modern cookware can't take the heat. It gets flaky.
Yeah.
Like modern religion. Put a little heat on it, it gets flaky. But a cast iron can take the heat. It's the only cookware that can go from the fire to the oven. And you look at all the men in the Bible that had that old time religion. You say, Joseph, he had that old time religion. Joseph, will it work? He said, I went through the prison with it. And Jacob had it. You know, every time I think of Jacob, I want to ask him, Jacob, how many times you been married? He says, 4. Does that qualify you to be the head of the 12 tribes of Israel? Woo!
Amen.
That's probably not a good thing to say. But if you've been married 4 times, you better have an old-time religion. How many children you got, Jacob? I got 12 teenage boys and a girl. You got that many teenagers, bless God, you better have you an old-time religion. Jacob, Jeremiah, you had an old-time religion. He said, it'll get you through. It'll take all the persecution.
Amen.
Job, he said, all the afflictions in the world. He said, I went in with it, come out with it. Jesus said, it'll endure the cross.
Amen.
And there's one other person I'd like to ask. Abigail. Oh, Abigail. That old time religion work. She said, I was married to an evil, curlish man. And I stayed with him until the day he died. And God gave me a king.
Yep.
Just trying to tell you that old time religion can handle anything. Paul said it can endure all things. You see, a cast iron salvation. You know where our salvation came from? It was born in the fight with the devil. Where did that salvation you got come from? We got in a fight with the devil, and the Lord had to come down and save us.
Yes.
I mean, go back to the very beginning and we're fighting the devil with that salvation. And what makes you and I think that we're not going to fight the devil with it?
Right. Yeah.
We've been fighting the devil with it since the time that Adam and Eve got saved.
Amen.
He's tried to bury it, drown it, burn it, chain it, prison it, nail it. But it's endured all things.
Amen.
When it comes to old cast iron skillets, there's nothing like the old gristles and the waggers. They're the king of cast irons. And they were made to last. There's some been around over 100 years.
Yep. Right? Yeah.
But them old time gristles, what they did, they polished. They put a real heavy polish right in the center. They polished that plate so that anything you put on it and anything that got in it was easy to get out of it. But modern day cast iron, they don't polish that no more. So that anything that gets in it, anything that gets on it, it's just not quite as easy to get off of. And an old time salvation, things will get in it and things will get on it. But it can get off.
Yeah.
That's that victory in Jesus that the preachers
were.
But this modern religion, when things get on it and things get in it, it's not so easy to get off. You see, Jesus went so far to say, boys, the old is better. Now what I did, I took the liberty to take verse 7 and look in the modern translations. One of them said, instead of saying bacon in a frying pan, it just says cooked in the pot.
It said what?
Cooked in the pot.
That's
probably what he was thinking about, pot.
Yeah.
Another one says prepared in a calendar. They took my frying pan that way. Another one says, offer a present, like he's going to a party. Another one says, baked in a covered pan. But boy, here's the king of them all. They said, cereal cooked in a pan. It was like a cornflake and a sugar pop religion. I said, you can't take my frying pan.
Right.
I like my frying pan.
Right.
I like to use my frying pan. You can't take it, you can't have it. You can't take my old time religion. You can't take that old time preacher. You can't take my old time altar. You can't take it away. You see, it was made to last. It was made to last so that you could give it to your third and fourth generation, your grandchildren, your great grandchildren. They can hold it. And in holding it, they would say, oh, Grandpa had this. Grandpa cooked his beans in here. They'd look at that and they'd say, Grandma cooked her bread in there.
Oh, yeah.
You see, the generations of old, they took this treasure and they carried it out of Egypt. They carried it through that Red Sea. They took it through the wilderness. They took it through the desert. They crossed Jordan. They went into the promised land with it. When they got in the promised land, they gave it to the children. You know what the children did with it? They put it in an antique store because they didn't want it anymore. They wanted something modern. They wanted something new. They didn't want Grandpa's old time skillet. And they don't want this old time religion either.
Yeah. Right.
My second point is forever. There's a relationship. You ever use one every day? You build a relationship with it. I mean, this thing, it makes me smile every day.
Yeah.
So you cut you some fresh fried okra in that thing. You'll love your skin.
Yeah.
You'll hug it.
Yeah.
You'll take it to bed with you. He builds a relationship with it. You see, every day he puts fire under it.
Yeah.
Every day it goes through the fire. Every day he lives out of it. He puts something in it. Every day he puts food in it. Every day there's flavor in there that satisfies it. Uh-huh. I feel sorry for you celery chewing, broccoli loving people.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it's like to make you a big pan of fried potatoes. And a big old bowl of beans. And get you a 6-inch cast iron and make you some cornbread. Don't you know, all that modern stuff. You're going to count your calories. There ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like an old-time salvation and an old-time church service and an old-time camp meeting and an old-time preacher. There's just nothing like it. That river has flowed all week. Before I ever preached tonight, I felt like I'd preached 6 times. I did. My soul had been, I'd been in that river. It had been raptured out. I feel like I'd preached a whole week of meeting. I didn't need to preach.
Amen.
You see, the poor man, he looks at that skillet and he remembers. He remembers what was in it. He remembers the altar that he took it to. He remembers the fire that burnt his offering. He remembers the sweet savor that came out of it. And our salvation, it ought to make us remember the sacrifice that was paid for you and I to have. Every day when you sense that salvation, it ought to remind you of the altar, the fire, the blood, the suffering.
Amen.
That somebody had to go through for us to have this old-fashioned, God-loving, God-given salvation.
Amen.
There's a lot of real ones and counterfeit ones out there. So how do you know if you got the real thing? First thing, it's heavy. It's a strong piece. It can endure the fire. It can endure anything. When the week I got saved in 1976, 28 years old, had a bottle on Saturday and a bottle on Monday. That's of God's truth. And when I got saved on Sunday, that next day, I had something in me that had never been there. And my first wife, she said, "You have lost your mind." And she packed her bags and left. And she went down to Palacios. I can say this because my dear wife ain't here. She went down there to Palacios and she walked in the front door of her mama's house. She said, "Mama, he's weird. He's got religion. He's lost his mind." And my mother-in-law just died the other day, 96 years old. This was the only decent thing she ever said to me about me. She looked at my wife and she said, "You go back. You go back and give him a year and see if he got the real thing." Been 42 of them years.
Yeah.
I still got the real thing. It's endured heartache. It's endured sadness. It's endured tears. It's endured the death. It's endured heartaches. It's endured hard times. It's endured children. It's endured money. It's endured everything. And here I stand tonight still. I got that old time salvation.
Yeah.
Second reason, if you know you got the real thing, is the handle. You see, modern skillets, the handle is connected to the pan with a screw. It's two-piece. And that screw's always getting loose, and you're always having to tighten it up.
Yeah.
You see, that modern religion's got a screw loose.
Yeah.
Modern cookware got a screw loose. Modern religion's got a screw loose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're always having to tighten it up.
Yeah.
But this one is one piece. All one. The Apostle Paul said we are complete. We're one in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Another reason you know if you got the real faith. Look on the back. You see the maker put his mark in there. The maker puts the mark in there and you can't get it off.
Yeah. Amen.
It's there to stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
God Almighty saves you. He puts up a mark in
there. Amen.
Yeah.
And that mark, I don't care what you do, where you go, you're marked.
Yeah.
You have been marked. You are a peculiar child to this world.
Amen.
I'm going to close right here. If you let that skillet just sit, it'll rust up. Don't do nothing to it. Just set it anywhere you want to. It'll rust up. It'll sit so long, it'll get so rusty, it becomes just unusable. It gets rusty, it gets cruddy, and it just looks bad. And you look at it and you say, "Old pan, can you live again?" You say, "Old pan, will you ever cook again?" And what you do when it gets rusty and it just don't seem to work no more, you know what you do? You take it and you put it in an oven.
Yeah.
You put it for 400 degrees. Uh-huh. You let it sit in there for hours. And it just cooks and cooks and cooks. And then you take it out. And the junk, the gunk, the rust, you take a fuller brush and soap and water. And you just scrub and scrub that thing. Then when you get it scrubbed down, you put it on the fire. And you leave it there till it gets smoking hot. And then when it cools down, you pour oil in there.
Yep. Yeah.
And that oil seasons it.
Yeah.
And it looks good again.
Yeah.
And it cooks again. And you can use it again.
Oh, yeah.
You see what you and I have, what you and I need to get through this wilderness and this desert? You got to have an old-time salvation. You got to have an old-time preacher. You got to have an old-time church. You got to have an old-time fiery God.
Amen.
To get all the way through. Bacon in a frying pan. Piano player, would you come? Would you bow your heads with me for just a minute? Why, we've been to the altar time and time again. Go to the altar with exceeding joy, Psalm 43 says. He took that meat offering down there just to say, "Lord, I want to thank you. I want to worship you for this old time salvation in my heart. I want to thank you for this old fashion cat meat you've given me. I want to thank you, Lord, for every time you've moved on my heart this week. I want to thank you for what you've done for my wife, my children. Oh, you're going to need something to get you through. Nothing like an old time salvation. It'll go through the fire. It'll take you through the fire. 12 years, every day this skillet's been through the fire. Here it sits on the pulpit. Gotta have it. If you're gonna get through. God only knows what you're gonna face, what you're facing. All of us men, I know the history of all these men that I've been with for 40 years. I've watched their families. I've watched their health. I've watched their children. And they're still here. That salvation's took them through. Got them here. Here we are, 40 years later, standing on Pisgah, looking over the promised land. Won't be long. We'll be crossing over. And we're going to give it to you, young people. We're going to do our best to give you our old-time salvation. And I pray you don't hang it up in an antique store. Pray you keep it in your heart and your life. God help us.
Put the tents on stand, turn to page 410 in your church hymnal. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing dream. Flows from Calvary's mountain.
I know where you can still buy them. I'd known he's going to preach that. I'd brought a stack of them. I'm the guy everybody brings them to when they don't want them anymore. I'll buy them. As long as it's not made in Taiwan.
Yeah.
But a Griswold, just bring all you got.
Yeah.
They started making those in 1865. When blacksmiths knew what they were doing. And they made millions of them. It started slowing down after the turn of the century. They finally went out of business in 1957. So if you ever see a Griswold skillet, you know right off the bat it's over 50 years old. It could easily be 100 years old. And possibly 150. And just what he said, Wagner's are the next level. Collectors still collect Wagner skillets. They're not the same quality as Griswold, but they're better than anything else you can buy other than Griswold. Here's the worst thing you can do to a rusty skillet. Worst thing you can do is get sandpaper or steel wool and try to clean it. That's man trying to fix rotten religion. And I can give you that method he described to you how to clean them was accurate. But I can tell you a shortcut. Yeah. If your salvation has gotten rusty and nobody wants to eat out of your frying pan anymore, this looks kind of nasty. You put that thing in a campfire. I'm talking about where you cut down an oak tree and you just put in these chunks of oak and you get you a good size campfire and just stick that skillet down in the bottom of that before you ever set it on fire. And just set it on fire and let it burn for about 3 days. And it'll come out of there looking like a brand new skillet. But you still got to pour the oil in it. Now you say, what's that got to do with old time religion? If you're all messed up and you don't want to take a year's preaching to get right, just find you a red hot camp meeting.
Yeah.
You sit here from Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of junk coming out of you.
Yeah.
And you can leave here ready to go.
Yeah.
And people will look at you and say, that's a fine Christian right there. It's just all like gunk they've been looking at. Nothing looks nastier than an old cast iron skillet that has not been used for a long time.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Or maybe whoever did use it didn't take care of it. And that stuff just kept building up. Don't take your scraper, try to scrape all that stuff off. Don't take sandpaper, don't take steel wool. Hot fire. Get it out. And yet he already told you it's in the fire every day. So I'm not talking about everyday fire. I'm talking about red hot fire.
Amen.
You gotta get it out. Brother Buddy Blanco, you come get ready to sing, bring your helpers with you. Y'all can be seated.